You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, free agent frenzy takes a backseat to huge extensions. Be tuned. Season 3, episode 78 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crawshaw joining you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Wednesday afternoon and the first day of NHL free agency?
I'm absolutely fantastic because though there's been a smaller number of signings than in previous years in terms of the free agent signings, like even last year, we saw that the first hour at 33 signings. This year is only 19. So there's, you know, a considerably less or smaller number of signings. We're seeing a lot of very familiar faces change places. We got some big name free agents still out there. You know, we're seeing my childhood favorite team. So a team I still support, you know, Tampa's obviously the team here that we're supporting on this podcast, but I'm always going to be rooting for Detroit and the job Steve Yzerman's doing. We're seeing them make a statement saying that they're ready to compete for playoffs. We're seeing our Tampa Bay Lightning extend crucial players. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of excitement around the two teams that I support. It's a ton of fun. How you doing?
I'm doing great, even though I'm oblivious to probably like 60% of what's happened today. So I'm coming off of work, and at work, I don't really check my phone. So I've just seen it's been crazy so far. I've seen some tweets that Chase has sent me with some signings. Obviously, I know about the extensions here in Tampa Bay. But when it comes to the actual big signings after the commercial break where, you know, league-wide, there's going to be a lot of them that we're going to talk about where you're going to get my instant reaction because I just don't know about it yet. But, Chase, let's start with Tampa because we've got three massive moves.
What a day.
With them extending Anthony Cirelli, Eric Chernak, Mikhail Sergachev. Doesn't get better than that.
No, it does not at all. You know, we'll start with the extensions, and we had a couple of free agents we can talk about as well, but we'll first start with these extensions because they're so large. We'll start with the first one that was announced and go from there. First was Mikhail Sergachev, someone that we got via trade with the Jonathan Drouin deal, and holy hell has that one worked out in our favor. Mm-hmm. It's been incredible. Mikhail Sergachev has been a tremendous D-man, and he gets a payday. 8 years, $68 million. That's an $8.5 million year deal. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if there's a defenseman that, you know, like if there's a young defenseman that maybe hasn't earned it yet, but that truly has a chance to still earn that. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like Sergachev is the type of guy that is worth that money because he's been very sturdy. Maybe there needs to be a little more offense, a little more defense before he's truly worth that dollar amount. But I mean, the kid's 24. Defensemen, they take a couple more years to really reach their prime. He's stepping into a great spot into his career where now he's going to be locked up until he's 33 years old at a great deal, especially if the cap continues to go up. He's going to become a number one defenseman. It's just a matter of time. If Hedman wasn't here, he would be our number one defenseman. So he is afforded the opportunity to be the number two trusted guy, gets a good payday, is going to be someone who has relied on for a lot of years in Tampa. It's just a fantastic deal all around.
Yeah, it's one where GM JB, he's projecting what Sergachev will continue to develop into. And he's looking at it. He's thinking, looking at, you know, the rest of the defensive market too, because we saw what Seth Jones got. We saw what Darnell Nurse got. All those guys. He's projecting that Mikhail Sergachev will continue to get bigger and better. And eventually, this could come into a nice steal of a deal for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, for sure. Because at the end of the day, in 5 years, he's not going to be in the top 10 paid defenseman. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be a top 10 defenseman. So that just tells you all you need to know right there. It didn't work out being a great deal.
And then another 8-year contract. Two more 8-year contracts for both Cirelli and Chernak. GMJB's going all in on these young guys. He's like, I want to lock them up. I want them here long term. And these were three guys that were, you know, up for free agency come next year, yeah. No longer.
Yeah, I think these are three tremendous deals. You can argue that Sergachev is a slightly bit of an overpay, but it's going to be a payment for what I'm going to do. And Cirelli, you can look at the offense and be like, he's not a 60-point guy every single season locked and loaded. Why is he getting this money? Well, it's because he is a top 5 defensive forward in the league every single year. At worst, on top of being a very reliable, second line type center, he's just a tremendous hockey player. 6.2 a year. It's not even a question. You lock that up 8 years. Again, great value. Locked up till 33 as well. Then you move over to Chernak, who's getting 5.2 a year for an 8-year deal. Locked up till he will be 34. And this one maybe slightly a little rich, but at the end of the day, such a great shutdown defenseman. A really good guy to pair with the likes of the Victor Hedmans and the Mikhail Sergachevs of the world, where they can have a little more creativity offensively. So this all becomes very worth their dollar. They're all very worth the dollar amounts, and they will become very worth the dollar amounts here in a few years. Like, you know, if we even see the cap go up like $5 million in the next 3-4 years, mm-hmm. that there alone is another player they can sign. These values look a lot better. I think at the end of the day, this is a big win for Tampa, a big win for JBB.
Absolutely agree. Currently watching the TSN free agent frenzy. They got Kyle Dubas on right now, so they're not announcing, but the 50th signing of today has just taken place, according to Frank Saravalli. David Perron officially going to Detroit for 2 years, 4.75.
And do you have the sound playing or no?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you weren't tripping me out here, but no. it's not a big deal.
I was going to turn it back on once Kyle Dubas got off because I don't really care what the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs has to say. Once they start talking more free agency and deals, going to turn it back on.
No, for sure, but as you just mentioned, I mean, the guys that are moving faces, incredible. I never thought I'd see the day where David Perron signed away from the St. Louis Blues. Like, yeah. He signed 4 or 5 NHL contracts, all been at the Blues, mm-hmm. even though he's paid for like 6 different teams. It's just incredible, but he comes to Detroit, and, you know, I mentioned it's the other team I'm rooting for on top of their other signings with Dominic Kubalik, and Ben Chiarot might have gotten a little bit more of a payday than I was hoping, but that them Andrew Kopp as well. I mean, the Wings are saying they want to be a playoff team this year, and that just adds to the competition level of this division. It's the heck? Oh, that's my iPad making sound.
Chase's iPad going crazy.
Thought I had the volume down for a freaking advertising campaign on TSN, so I apologize for that. But it's really adding to the competition level of the Atlantic. Really, there's only one team in this division that's not going to be pushing for a playoff spot next year. That's the Canadiens.
Yeah.
Some teams, sure, they're in better spots like us in Florida. But, you know, we're two teams that are in pretty good spots. Toronto, of course, as well. But hell, you know, Detroit, Ottawa, these are two teams that were not really as much in the race, and they're saying we're ready to go. We're done rebuilding. Ottawa's been in this for a bit longer than some of these other teams have, but you know, they're ready to go. They want to win, and it's going to make for more exciting hockey this upcoming season for sure. I'm really interested to see how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, unless Yuri Slavkovsky becomes the best player of all time, then maybe Montreal's in it.
I really hope they took him first overall and to play him in the NHL right away. It might not be the best decision, in my opinion. I don't think he would hurt from even starting at least in the American League. Mm-hmm. But if they view he's good enough to play in the NHL right away, that's awesome. Then that's great. I want to see him play as quick as possible. And who knows if they really believe in him that much. Maybe he does become that guy. Maybe he becomes, you know, some people compare the play style to Jaromír Jágr. Not the same ceiling, because you can't say anyone has a ceiling of Jaromír Jágr. But the play style is the exact same. So if he can become that type of guy, score 70 points every year and be a 40 to 50 point guy this year, I mean, that's a nice addition for Montreal, that which will keep him from being the last place team in the league.
Yeah, and we do have a little bit of news on Jaromir Jagr a little bit later in the show, so you'll want to stick around after the commercial break for that. Chase, let's swing back around to Tampa's free agent signings. I saw that Ian Cole one. Was that the only signing, or were there some that were a part of that 60% of moves that I just did not see?
So we do have one more as well. So we do have that Ian Cole signing, as you mentioned, a one-year, $3 million deal. You know, respectable. I don't have any hate against it. I think it's perfectly fine. But then you look at this one, which I don't – still haven't seen the dollar amount yet on this one. And it's still not updated on TSN, but Vladislav Namestnikov coming back to Tampa, you know, our original Tampa selection. He's, you know, called Tampa home for 5 years, I believe it was. He's going to be back playing a middle six role, and I got to imagine it's a relatively cheap deal, $3 million or less, and I'm all for that. I think that's a really nice signing. It does, though, kind of confirm that Andre Palat, who is still currently sitting as a free agent, is gone. Yeah. He will no longer be with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and if you're going to go for a replacement-type player, I think Namestnikov is not a bad option. It's, again, like I mentioned last episode, you know, teams could try going the Moneyball approach this year and stuff, and try, you know, that's what Tampa would be doing, trying to go with some cheaper guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be kind of the same thing between Namestnikov and Colton. You're kind of hoping one of these guys can really step up, take that next, you know, like kind of take over that role for Palat. Not necessarily to that level, but maybe one of them can. Who knows? But I do like the signing, especially if it's $3 million or less.
Yeah, I kind of like it because you look at Ian Cole, you look at Namestnikov. They're guys that can play a similar role to that of Ruda and Palat, yep. Obviously on much cheaper deals, though. Watching TSN right now, and they're talking about the Maple Leafs and their, like, to-do list in the offseason, and the first thing was address the number one goaltender situation, and had a check next to it, and now they're showing Matt Murray and his stats.
Yeah, so I wouldn't call that a check. They have Matt Murray. They also have Ilya Samsonov. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did.
They didn't address the number one goalie. They have, like, 2 1.5 goalies.
To be fair, I mean, if this was back in
There's no camera there today.
Back in 2017, when Matt Murray is just coming off of his second Stanley Cup in a row.
Sure, yeah.
Thinking Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov, like, that is a goaltending room that...
Yeah, you think you'd get 70 wins.
Yeah.
But then their careers have played out.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And I still really like Samsonov. I have a lot of faith in him as a player. Matt Murray has shown he can do it, so maybe he can kind of rebound. And Matt Murray, in all fairness, when he's gotten the opportunities in the playoffs, has been a very, very good playoff goaltender. If Samsonov carries lower in the regular season and Matt Murray comes in the playoffs and becomes that guy again, then that's great for Toronto. Like, that'd be a perfect deal. And I'm sure Samsonov would want to play more, especially if he played 50, 60 regular season games. But, like, if that works out for Toronto, then that could be enough to get him over the hump. But whatever they do, they got to do it quickly, because if they don't show that they can get past the first round here in the next couple of years, I mean, Austin Matthews' time is... It's getting closer and closer to UFA, and I'm feeling less and less confident by the day of him staying there.
Honestly, the more I think about it, the more I think Austin Matthews, obviously, his draft year went over to Switzerland. He's missing that college experience. He wants to go to Arizona State.
He does.
And really feel the true college atmosphere.
God.
Let's swing back around to Jan Ruda. We talked about Andre Palat not being anywhere. Jan Ruda, he signs with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He stays within the conference. A nice little deal for him, just under $3 million. I'm not sure if I would have paid him, like, right there at that $3 million mark, but he gets money, and good for him.
I think the number's fine. It's the term is, I think, what deterred Tampa away from it, where Ian Cole, you have to bring him in on this one-year deal for a little more money, but it's just a one-year. You don't have to lock him down. You can hope you get some younger guys that are stepping up. So I think it makes more sense to go the Ian Cole route for Tampa's case, but I don't think it's like a harsh deal for Ruda by any means. I mean, he's a number six defenseman on a legitimate playoff team for sure. Mm-hmm. And you still needed your number six defenseman to be a quality player, and I think Jan Ruda is that quality player. So if Tampa would have kept him, I wouldn't have been mad by any means, but I think that Ian Cole kind of fits a little more of what they're going for.
Yeah, I feel you there. All right, we are going to go to a quick commercial break. But on the other side of the commercial break, going to be talking about more signings around the league, and also give you that news on Jaromir Jagr Quick update, TSN just showing the depth chart of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Who cares?
Which, I mean, it's TSN, so we kind of understand, but at the same time, like, come on.
The Toronto Sports Network.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be right back. The action never ends at the DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, the DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. Any sports betting needs, make sure to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. And Chase, I got to say, right off the rip, before we, you know, hop into some more signings and all that, I'm pretty impressed by us. Not going to lie.
Why is that?
I mean, we had the ad playing. We were talking. We were listening to the TSN broadcast. Like, there's so much going on at that, you know, 1.5 minute stretch. We had three different sources of audio, the ad read, TSN, and then ourselves.
You can just say that we wake up in the morning, piss excellence.
Yeah, it's going without a hitch. Unless TSN's picking up on the recording.
That'd be tough.
Let's be quiet real quick. Hey, we're good. Let's go. Not picking up on the recording. So, good things over here at the Bolts broadcast. But, Chase, let's start off. Jaromir Jagr, we teased it at the beginning. Is he coming back to the NHL?
He might be. Puts out a tweet today. NHL GMs, I am also free agent. Once again, 6'3", 265 pounds. 50 years old.
What?
Slow but strong in good hands. Can bring experience and like to play only home games. Call me anytime. Also is the owner of a hockey club in Czech League. I am looking to sign a defenseman. No jokes. So Jags is teasing. You know, I'm ready to play. And if an NHL team gave him a call, he 1,000% would sign back. But it's not going to happen. Like, it just can't. He 50 years old, 265 pounds. I think that might make him the heaviest player in the league, legitimately.
An absolute chonker.
Yes.
How heavy has he played when he was over here before?
In the 230s, 240s.
Okay.
But it's 20 pounds when you're also 15, 20 years older.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is.
A lot.
Yeah, I think without Dustin Byfuglien, he probably would be, though.
Yeah. I don't know what Chara weighs in it.
Right.
It's probably right around that range.
Yeah.
So that would be cool if a team did sign him. Like, I'm not going to lie. If Tampa just wanted to throw him a league minimum deal just for the hell of it, like, he would never play. But just to say that he's on Tampa Lightning would be so cool.
Right. I'd like to see Big Buff come back, too.
He has no desire to play hockey. He didn't know desire to play in the NHL when he played.
Well, yeah. He retired to, what, go hunting? And
he retired to just go live in the woods and just been off the grid ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fun watching some of his hits.
It was awesome because he played like, yeah, I really don't. This doesn't impact how I live my life. I'm just here. I'm just going to be here, screw around a little bit. So he just ended up screwing around a little bit and murdered people on the ice. It's great.
All right, Chase, let's talk about some big moves in the trade deadline. Obviously, there's some I don't know.
Not the trade deadline,
the free agent frenzy.
Yes.
So you're going to have to walk me through some of this. You've got complete control here. You're the new host, okay?
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Well,
I guess let's start with the
yesterday?
I'll start with the rookies.
Oh, okay.
Because so right now we're seeing some rookies get signed, which is pretty cool. I'm happy to see that. You know, like so far we've seen first overall pick Yaroslav Slavkovsky signed in Montreal. We've seen fourth overall pick Shane Wright sign in Seattle. We've seen sixth overall pick David Yurecek sign in Columbus. Eighth overall pick Marco Kasper sign in Detroit. Those are the biggest names so far. We're seeing more and more guys get signed too, but those guys are all people that I think you know, if they can't went to their team's camps, would have a shot at competing for a roster spot right away. I think that Slafkovský and Wright are the safer bets to make their teams. You know, maybe not Juracek and Kasper, but they need some more time. But it is good to see that we're starting to see the rookies get signed. And I do think that we're going to see more guys play in the NHL right away this year than we have the last couple seasons. So that'll be good to see. And any comments on that before we move on?
I think it just shows the depth that this class had. And, you know, we highlighted that when we were coming into the draft, that the top-end talent might not be, generational like next year or, the Rasmus Dahlin and Svechnikov draft, so on. But the depth in this class really showed out. There was, 50 players that could all have a big impact for their teams. So to see them all come in and, get signed and compete, you love to see it.
Absolutely. So we could do things a couple ways here. I'm going to talk about trades first, but I want to get your opinion for what we're going to do for free agents. So you want to we can talk about every single thing and go off it very quickly, or we can just highlight the ones that TSN labels as major signings.
I think we should do the major ones.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So absolutely fair. But a couple trades have gone on so far. First one is Ottawa Senators trading Cam Talbot trading for Cam Talbot from the Minnesota Wild in exchange for Filip Gustavsson. Just two goalies swapping homes. Both guys are going to play in the NHL. It lets Cam Talbot have a bigger role than he wants, and it lets Filip Gustavsson be a good complimentary backup to Marc-Andre Fleury. And, he'll hold that role for at least this season. Next season, we'll see what happens with Wallstedt. But I think that's just, a solid move for two new faces to get different opportunities.
Yeah, and I don't remember if Gustavsson was a 2017 draft pick or, 16 or 18, but Gustavsson drafted by the Penguins, I think, when Marc-Andre Fleury was still on the Penguins as well. So now they're going to be in the same room, just different teams.
Yeah, look at that.
So cute.
Fun enough. Next, Pavel Zacha traded to the Boston Bruins in exchange for Eric Halla to the New Jersey Devils. I like Pavel Zacha significantly more than Eric Halla. I think Eric Halla is a very solid NHLer, but I still watch Pavel Zacha play and still see that he has it in there to be a very impactful player. It hasn't really worked out in the NHL for him, but he has the strength. He has, the shooting ability. He has enough of a skating skill set. He's good enough physically that it can work. He just needs the right opportunity. And that could have very well happened in Boston. He really has to get played in the top six. I think if he gets played in the top six and you let him play with a couple more skill guys, maybe let him play on the wing, see what he can do with Marchand, and see what he can do with Bergeron, see what he can do with Pastrnak, see what he can do with Taylor Hall. Just see what he can do with some of those guys. I think that could be a pretty good trade at the end of the day for Boston.
The sixth overall pick in the same exact draft that Pastrnak was selected, later on. That could be, or was Pastrnak 2016?
No, he was 2014.
Oh, well, Zaka's 2015.
Or no, 2015, excuse me.
Okay. Either way, Pavel Zacha, I think it could be a lot of fun to see him and Pastrnak play together. I like the size as well, and hopefully he can figure it out, because you and I, very high on him when he was coming in.
Absolutely. Next trade, Patrick Nemeth with a second-round pick and an optional draft pick to the Arizona Coyotes, excuse me, in exchange for Ty Emerson to the Rangers. That optional draft pick is that Arizona can choose the 24th third-round pick or the 26th second-round pick from the Rangers. So you can have a more upcoming pick and have it be later round, or wait a little longer and have it be a bit earlier. I would just take the second-round pick, even if it is further away. A guy you're drafting in 2024 in the third round has probably the same timeline as a guy you're drafting in 2026 in the second round. Like, they'd play in the NHL at the same time. So just take the higher draft pick. Maybe you can flip it for something when you're trying to compete more. But this is just a cap dump, not really anything too crazy.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. Go the second rounder instead of. It's interesting to think about, though.
It is. It's two varying philosophies. Where you want the asset in the building now, or do you want the chance at the higher potential asset? And I would rather take the chance at the higher potential asset
for sure.
The final trade, big one. Brent Burns, Lane Pettersson are moving from the San Jose Sharks to the Carolina Hurricanes in exchange for Steven Lorenz, Eetu Mäkiniemi, and a conditional third-round pick in 2023, and the San Jose Sharks are also retaining 33% of Brent Burns' contract. So that's a big move. San Jose, they would definitely like to move on from Burns, like to move on from Vlasic, like to move on from Carlson. If they were going to keep one of those three, I think they'd prefer to keep Burns. But the reality is, no one wants to trade for those other two guys.
Yeah.
Erik Karlsson, if he was making half the money he was, yeah, a lot of teams would want to trade for him because he is a great offensive player still. Same thing with Mark-Henrik Vlasic, making half this contract, sure. But they'd still want salary retained on top of those being half. And right now, you can only retain up to 50% of a salary, so those moves aren't really that feasible. So this one makes sense. Well, let's Mike Greer really try to put his own stamp on the organization. He's trying to change things up. He's more committed to a retooling. I think it's more of a retool than a rebuild. They've already got some young prospects in. Trying to get a couple other younger assets in, clear up some cap space, and maybe be ready to go in a couple of years. So I think this deal works out pretty well for both teams.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see what Mike Greer does with the team. I mean, just so far, the way he's changed it a little bit.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, really excited to see what he continues to do. We know what his brother has done with the Miami Dolphins, outside of, you know, selecting Tua over Justin Herbert. Yeah. Most of the stuff he's done over there has been really well. So, excited to see that. And then also Brent Burns to Carolina. How big do you think that's going to, impact the team? Obviously we know they lost Tony DeAngelo. They bring over Brent Burns. He's a guy that can, play a little bit both on the offensive side and the defensive side. What do you think?
They're getting a much better defenseman that all they're doing is sacrificing a fourth line player and potential players in terms of McEniemy, a goalie, and a third round pick. It's a great deal for Carolina. It just treat it like a free agent signing where you're essentially giving the guy, you know, $5.5 million in free agency. That works out quite well. He's very worth that money to Carolina, so I think that works out quite well for them.
Burns getting a little older. You think he's still got it all left in him?
Yeah, I still think he's a very usable player, very reliable player, someone that you could play top 4 minutes and have zero concern against any team in any situation. You know, as he gets older, it's going to start breaking down a little more. But I think as of right now, especially the next 2 years, which is really the kind of the window that they're working with, I think he's a really nice complimentary piece to try to help push him towards that cup run.
Okay. Carolina, one of those teams that has seen a lot of success in the regular season. But when it comes to the playoffs, they're always meeting up against someone that is just getting the better of them, whether it be Tampa, the New York Rangers. They haven't been able to find that playoff success. I'm sure they're hoping Brent Burns can help them find that. Let's now move on to free agent signings. Yeah,
yes, the big sir. Ones. We'll go with a couple quick re-signings. Valeri Nichushkin, 8-year deal, 6.13 cap at $49 million total in Colorado. That sucks. I really wanted him to see go elsewhere. I mean,
same.
He's legitimately my favorite player in the NHL right now. I love everything about the way he plays the game, and he's going to continue to thrive in Colorado. They let him play the game that he wants, so it works out great, but I would have liked to see him go somewhere else and see if he could continue it and maybe even improve on it, but fair enough. Rickard Rakell, 6-year, $30 million deal, $5 million cap hit to stay in Pittsburgh. Bit high for me, bit rich. He's someone that needs to play with a pass first type center in order to help him generate offense. He can't really do it himself. So it's a bit rich to me, especially if Crosby starts declining. And at first it looked like they didn't have Evgeny Malkin, and that made it even more concerning. But as we learned, Evgeny Malkin does ultimately re-sign in Pittsburgh, 4-year, $24 million deal, 24.4 to be exact, $6.1 million cap hit. You know, 4 years is the number that he wanted. Takes a lower cap hit than he would have gotten in free agency. He would have gotten paid $2-3 million more in free agency, like without a doubt. But he wants to stay in Pittsburgh, wants to play with his best friend, Sidney Crosby. He wanted to stay home. So now it makes the Rakell deal feel a little bit better. Pittsburgh is still a team that's trying to push for that playoff spot, trying to push for a cup still. It's tough with their team being a bit older, but still holding on to these two guys, it definitely helps their cause.
Yeah, I saw that Jay Fresh talked about how the Penguins are paying big money to two right wings that really need help from the middle, and they only had one guy, and then the Malkin stuff came out, and that was great to see. I saw a Penguins fan say, Evgeny Malkin says he's testing free agency. Sidney Crosby, he's just testing my patience, yes, or something like that. So yeah, that was pretty funny. But I'm glad they stuck together. It would feel weird.
Yeah, for sure. Time to move on to the actual signings. Well, one final re-signing, I guess, technically.
Evander Kane.
Yep. He does sign a 4-year extension with a 5.13 cap at $20.5 million in total. That's a very nice value for Edmonton. I mean, he played so well in that top six with Draisaitl and with McDavid. He's going to continue to do the same. It's a really good player for what they're trying to achieve there.
Yeah, I like it. Yep. And he even announced on Twitter
Yeah, he put out the tweet announcing it, which, great, good for him. The first signing of the day, Jack Campbell, he joins the Edmonton Oilers. 5 years, $5 million a year, so a 5x5, $25 million total. He is going to be looked at as the answer. They now are going to be rolling with him and Stuart Skinner, as Mike Smith is probably going to retire and Mikko Koskinen is gone. So I like that signing. I think it's a guy that's definitely, you know, worth taking a chance on for Edmonton.
Yeah, I think that's much better than Mike Smith and Mikko. I mean, it shouldn't even be like, I think it's just
no. It's night and day. Like, yeah. If they had Jack Campbell, even though he struggled the second half of the year, they had a chance to be Colorado where before they really didn't.
I don't really want to see. Yeah. I don't really want to see Edmonton have success though. So I don't know if I. Like,
I want to see McDavid achieve something in his career other than just being the
greatest. Yeah, go to a different team.
That's not going to happen, though. You know it's not. The biggest move of the day, Claude Giroux, 3-year deal in Ottawa, 6.5 a year. Kind of goes back home. That's his summer home. He's going to go there, be a pretty big part of the offense. Ottawa cementing that they are intending to compete for a playoff spot this year.
Yeah, Ottawa bringing in Claude Giroux, Alex DeBrincat at the draft. Excuse me. I keep wanting to say trade deadline. Got no idea why. So hey, they're really trying to make that push. Yeah. With, you know, Thomas Chabot obviously being their lockdown defenseman. You got some young players like Tim Stützle. I don't know. TSN saying that they think Ottawa is the one to knock out Boston rather than the likes of Buffalo or Detroit.
And it very well could be. It's a team that has a little more star power now. Like, Detroit's star power is still super young. Like their two star players last year were both rookies, and they're looking to improve on that second year, where Tim Stützle, again, he's looking to improve on his first year going to a second year. Thomas Chabot's a star defenseman. They got Brady Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. They've got Drake Bass. They got a lot of the right things in place, so they very well could be that team to do that. One more extension that we'll mention here, as it is, you know, unless it is a major signing as well. Robert Thomas, he signs an 8-year deal in St. Louis, $65 million total, 8.13. You know, we'll move on, talk more about the free agent stuff, but this was a pretty obvious signing at the end of the day for St. Louis.
Yeah, I did see that. That was huge. Big payday for St. Louis.
Yeah. Vincent Trocheck leaves the Carolina Hurricanes, goes to the New York Rangers, replaces the departed Andrew Kopp, who went to the Detroit Red Wings. Vincent Trocheck signs a 7-year deal, 39.38 total, a 5.63 cap hit. And Andrew Kopp signs a 5-year deal with the same cap hit, but a $28.13 million total. So Trocheck to New York, Kopp to Detroit. I think both these are just fits that make total sense. You know, I could have seen a case where it was the opposite, where Kopp re-signed in New York and Trocheck went to Detroit. So I think, you know, this is far from surprising.
Yeah, I agree. I think Trocheck, like, if you asked me yesterday, I probably would have been like, I don't know, New York Rangers or something.
Yeah. It just seems like a fit.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. So I think that's a very nice signing by them. It's a relatively safe salary to pay him as well, too. Nick Leddy, technically non-extension, as he did hit the free agent market, but he does sign a 4-year deal with the St. Louis Blues, $16 million in total, $4 million cap hit. He played pretty well for them, actually. He was a bit of a defensive liability in Detroit. When he went to St. Louis, he started playing a lot better defensively because he realized he had to play more of that role. Didn't have to really try to provide more offense like he had to try to in Detroit. And he played a lot better. I probably still wouldn't have paid him this much this long, but whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it.
Fair enough. Ilya Mikheyev leaves the Toronto Maple Leafs, signs with the Vancouver Canucks, a 4-year deal, $19 million, 4.75 average. I think this is a pretty nice signing for Vancouver. Someone who kind of came into the league and it was a bit unexpected. Like what is he going to provide to the Maple Leafs? What is he going to provide as an NHL player? And ended up being a really sturdy, just middle six winger, someone that you can trust big minutes to if you need to. And I think his payday reflects that. His 32 points and 21 goals for 53 games, that can be expanded upon when he plays a longer season. When he plays with some different players in Vancouver, he's going to have a pretty big role. This has the potential to really go either way at the end of the day, though. This could be one where it's like, they probably should have signed to this, or this could be one where it's like, wow, what a deal.
Yeah, this is the first one that big one that I didn't know about until now. And yeah, I think Mikheyev, bigger role in Vancouver, and I'm actually excited for that. I want to see what he can do with a little less help around him when you think about, you know, the star power that Vancouver has compared to Toronto, but you got a much bigger role, some more minutes over there in Vancouver.
For sure. Then Darcy Kuemper, goaltender for the Washington Capitals now. He was formerly a goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche. This one is rumored for a little bit. 5 years, 5.25 cap at $26.25 million in total. I would have probably preferred to keep Ilya Samsonov, to be honest, especially because it would have been a cheaper deal.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. If this is a guy that you trust, then go with it. I don't think it's a bad cap hit for someone you can believe can be your number one goalie, but I just don't know how much faith I have.
So it's Kuemper and Vanacek now?
No, Vanacek got traded to New Jersey, so it's Kuemper and I don't even know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So whoever, you know, whoever the back goalie is might be there. It could be Phoenix Copley. I can't think of it right now. You got it on the Google machine?
Yeah, I'm looking up right now.
So while you do that, we will... starting to move on to the next people while you look for that. Arturi Lehkonen, he ends up signing an extension in, or I guess technically it was a signing, just a free agent signing, in Colorado. 5 years, 4.5 cap at 22.5 in total. Played fantastic when he showed up in Colorado. In Montreal, he was always using correctly, always used a bottom six player, even though there was legitimate draft capital spent on him and was viewed as someone who was a legitimate potential offensive threat. Showed up in Colorado. Became a Valerian Shushkin light, performed a little less offensively, a little less defensively, but put up 8 goals in the playoffs and still was a great shutdown type winger. So I've got zero issues with this cap hit. Colorado's done a great job retaining a lot of their players. Sure, Nas is still out there and it's going to be tough trying to fit him back in, but they've done a great job retaining the guys that they've needed to so far.
Yeah, they really have. And I want to swing back around to the Capitals. Looks like Charlie Lindgren is going to be there.
He did sign today. That's right.
Yeah, they're going to be their new backup.
I don't hate that. I think he's fine. I don't think he's someone who's like, oh, he's a great backup or he should not be a backup. I think he's just fine.
Yeah. So, I can't remember the Vanacek trade. That was just last week, right?
Yeah, it was just pretty recently. But anyway, I don't remember what it was either. It wasn't any crazy assets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next major signing is listed by TSN. Ben Chiarot gets a 4-year deal, 4.75 in Detroit. You know, we talked about it a little bit already. We mentioned that Detroit is making moves. It's a lot of money to pay Ben Chiarot, a guy that I've never been a fan of. But this does offer you stability, offers you a legitimate defensive defenseman. They didn't have one of those. You know, last year, Mark Stahl or Dana Kaiser was their defensive defenseman.
Yeah.
That's not what you want. So for what Stevie's trying to build, it makes sense. You know, we saw this type of player in Tampa. You know, he's definitely a couple steps down from an Eric Chernock or Ryan McDonough, but like he tries to play a similar type of game, like a mix of those two types of guys. He's gonna be nothing more than like your number three defenseman at the end of the day, is what you're hoping. But if the cap goes up and he ends up just doing, you know, what I just explained there, he's just, you know, a solid number three defenseman, this will be fine.
Yeah, I think it's okay as well. Money a little bit high, but when you look at the Detroit Red Wings last year, like, you would have been the second or third best defenseman.
For sure. He would have been number two behind Sider. And at the end of the day, they have so much cap space to spend that, like, it really isn't that big of a dent.
You need some of these guys. You need some of these type of guys.
So there's one more listed major signings, but I know there's a couple others that I do want to talk about. So I'll talk about this last major signing, then we'll move on to those others. Andrei Burakovsky signs a 5-year deal worth $27.5 million in Seattle. It's a 5.5 average. 61-point season for him. Had a great year in Colorado. I think he is a very talented player. I don't know if I would have given him this money, honestly.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, Seattle, I don't know exactly what their cap situation looks like, but I can't imagine it's terrible.
No, it's got to be pretty open.
Yeah.
So, and which is what makes it feel a little better.
Yeah, makes it feel better. And if this guy can come in and be on the side of, you know, Shane Wright or Matty Beniers, that could be a lot of help. So
yeah, so I got to imagine that Jared McCann is going to be playing more wing this year. So you're going to have Jared McCann, who's a little more of a, when he comes to his offense, more of a goal scorer. Yeah, Burakovsky's more of a goal scorer. Matty Beniers is a bit of a goal scorer as well. So you're going to have to try to figure this out. You're going to have to try to find someone who's going to be a legitimate playmaker to play with. You know, I would just assume that that McCann and Beniers, they just seem like they'd be the fit together to me. So you have to find a legitimate playmaker for them. And then Burakovsky plays Shane Wright and whoever else. So don't expect this team to be any good next year again. Like, there's not going to be. They're taking more of a process approach because they kind of have to. They put themselves in this situation, but there's nothing wrong with that either.
It's almost like they just made all of the wrong decisions when they were doing the expansion draft.
They really made like five that I was like, oh, that's what I would have done. That was about it.
Who was the, what team was it where they just took a no-name defenseman.
They took Gavin Bayreuther from Columbus and didn't sign him.
Yeah.
So they just took nothing from Columbus. When Max Domi was there for the taking.
Yeah.
It was very, very confusing to me.
Great job.
Yeah. But a couple other signings, you know, I'll rattle off a few, and then we'll talk about any of them that are a little more important. But Phoenix Copley signs a one-year deal in L.A., presumably to be a number three type goalie for them. Andre Suster, a one-year deal with Minnesota to be about a number seventh defenseman. We will talk about David Perron here in a second signing with Detroit. We're going to talk about some of their ones at first. Sheldon Rampall signs a two-year deal in Vegas. I think he's someone that could be a borderline NHLer. He's at the age where he has to do it now or he's not going to do it, but I think he's got a chance to be a decent depth guy. Nick Batan signs a two-year deal, 1.5 in total in Minnesota. Maybe they view him as someone who has a chance of being a potential borderline NHLer. Cale Clegg signs in Buffalo. No details on that yet. David Rittich signs as the backup goaltender in Winnipeg. Then we see our neighbors, brothers, little brothers, whatever you decide to call them. They signed the Stahl brothers. Eric and Mark Stahl both get deals. So originally I saw that it was Eric Stahl's was going to be a PTO, but right now it says he's making $750. So Eric and Mark Stahl both making $750K for 1 year. Just as kind of nice little depth pieces. And then another one for Detroit, they did sign forward Dominic Kubalik. Dominic Kubalik, David Perron to add to their big day. So those two guys, I want to talk about them, talk about Detroit. We talked about already that they're going all in, but I do really want to emphasize the point of it's exciting, you know, being in Detroit. I know people around here are very anxious for them to be back to being a playoff team. I truly did think, though, it would have been better to punt one more year and try to get a shot at Connor Bedard. That's clearly not going to happen, and I'm happy that's at least happening now than, like, them surprisingly being better later in the season, because you'd rather know that they're trying to go for it now and then maybe fall a little bit short than have them look like a team that's not really trying to compete, and all of a sudden they end up with, like, the 10th pick, and you're pretty annoyed.
Let me ask you a question here. If we see, I don't know, like, tomorrow or 2 days from now, that Johnny Gaudreau is heading to Detroit.
Oh.
Are we changing our thoughts?
Oh, they're all in at that. They're all in at that point.
Because I've said this for a while that I think Detroit is one more like elite talented forward. If they were to punt one more year and be able to grab a Mishkov or a Dvorsky or a Bedard, like that would send them to that next level, be a very promising young team. As of right now, they don't have that, but if they were to add Johnny Gaudreau, they have it.
It was like on, I think it was on ESPN's broadcast today. I think it was Kevin Weeks that said, you know, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, these guys are obviously going to get moved out of Chicago. Seth Jones as well. That's something that we're going to see more of probably later on in the summer, but I got to imagine these guys are going to be moved. What if Patrick Kane got traded to Detroit? You know, he's lived in Detroit since he was 13. He played his youth hockey here, played at the NCDP before he went to the OHL. What if he came to Detroit? And I was like, that would be super exciting, watching someone like Patrick Kane play with Dylan Larkin. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Johnny Gaudreau. If he got to play with Dylan Larkin, that'd be super exciting for Detroit fans. It'd be exciting around here. It would make, you know, our rivalry between Tampa and Detroit a lot more fun. It just makes it so I can really enjoy those games a lot more, because those are my favorite games to watch, with them being my top two teams. Like, once the home opener last year, Tampa won 7-6 in overtime. That was maybe the best game I've ever been to for a hockey game. It was just super exciting. They're always fun. And if Detroit could be that talented, it would just make it even more fun.
Yeah, a very exciting offseason so far. And I know Detroit fans, like you said, clamoring for the wins to get back to the playoffs, but also very happy where the Pistons are at, where the Lions are at. So they're not as hopeful with the Tigers, but overall, they have a very positive outlook over here in Detroit. Just one more piece. Really want to be like super talented, ready to go.
It's really, and it's good. I do, you know, before we like, that's pretty much all the big things for us to talk about. The final point before we move on, I do want to talk about Chicago. They do got to trade those guys. They got to trade Kane and Toews and try to trade Jones. Like, they just have to.
Yeah.
Today they've signed Andreas Athanasiou, Max Domi to both 1 year, $3 million deals. Both are $3 million. So when you see they're trading out guys like Alex DeBrincat and Kirby Dach, and they're bringing in those two players, or they bring in Colin Blackwell as well, how do you look at that as Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, to be like, you know what, I'm okay staying here? Like, you have to be ready to go. You have to be ready to move on.
Yeah.
And Kane, I think almost every team in the league would find a way to make it work if they could. Taves, I don't think that's the same case. I think you'd be a lot more limited. But, like, I think there's about a 5% chance both these players are on the starting roster for the Chicago Blackhawks. So where do you think would be a fun fit for Patrick Kane?
I mean, there's some, like, dream scenarios, yeah, well, but...
Let's go realistic, because he's not going to show up in Tampa Lightning uniform anytime soon.
Right.
I've got one in mind, because Detroit would be a lot of fun, and we can see him in person more often, too. But there's one in mind that really sticks out to me. He is from New York. If he could end up in Buffalo, he's kind of from that area. A team that is starting to kind of get on the rise. That adds to that elite four that they really need with the young decor, the young goaltending that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Where that would entice a free agent or two to sign there as well. If they say they traded for, let's say that they traded for Patrick Kane right now, Johnny Gaudreau might sign there the next day. Like legitimately. And if they just got Patrick Kane and Johnny Gaudreau in the building just out of nowhere, they're automatically legitimate contenders.
Yeah. I was thinking, I know for a while Johnny Gaudreau has been linked to New Jersey. I don't know what's happened with that, but if that were to fall through, Patrick Kane plus Jack Hughes, that'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be so gross. That'd be so much fun. I really want to see him play with another elite forward as well, mm-hmm. someone that has a similar type of skill set. I think he's going to move. It's going to be tough to make the deal work. Chicago's probably going to retain a bunch of cap, but at the end of the day, if they're willing to retain 50% cap, which they probably need to get themselves to the cap floor, mm-hmm. I think they'll get a phone call from almost every team in the league.
And Dominic Kubalik, obviously we know, signed with the Red Wings. I'm interested to see what happens with Dylan Strome as well.
Yeah,
he's still sitting out there.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of names sitting out there. Dylan Strome, as you mentioned, Ryan Strome, his brother is out there as well. You go look at Nazem Kadri, he's still waiting on a deal. John Klingberg, a big defenseman, waiting on a deal. There's a lot of pretty large names out there that are going to be legitimate impact players, top players in your lineup that are still waiting on deals. And wish we could share that news with you now, but unfortunately we just don't have that news.
Yeah, Darren Drager actually talking about Nazem Kadri right now, but just talking about what Nazem Kadri might be working or looking for, I should say. No links to a team yet. So
yeah, that's like the one question I have is I don't know what feels like the right fit for him, because I got to expect it's somewhere that has the cap, but he has stated he only is going to a competitive, ready to win type team.
Yeah,
he's not going just to chase a bag, so it's hard to find a perfect fit for that right now where teams currently stand.
You know what I wish? What? I wish that Colorado gave the money to Kadri, because that just feels like a really good fit to me.
Oh, it's a perfect fit. It really is.
Valeri Nichushkin could go elsewhere and really, you know, show what he could do.
See,
I wish that was the case.
That would have been my dream scenario, but also at the same time, I would prioritize Nichushkin over Kadri, so I understand why they did that, especially since it's going to be a cheaper dollar too. So fair, but it would have been more fun to see that scenario happen, because Kadri was really... He fit Colorado's play style so unbelievably well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. It really is.
All right, well, that's all we have for free agency as of right now. Obviously going to keep the free agent frenzy from TSN on, so if we have any updates, we will let you know. But, Chase, let's move on.
Absolutely. I don't know why I wrote where big games go.
That's why I threw it to you, because
meant to say names, so we kind of talked about that there real quick.
Right.
You know, where do we think they're going to go? We don't really know. But, you know, we got one really thing that I kind of do want to talk about before we move on. If everything we've seen so far from the end of the season, the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs till now, what team do you think has made the biggest splash, the biggest impact, the biggest differences so far?
The biggest, not the most.
The biggest. Which team you think has made, for better or for worse, the biggest changes to their franchise?
Well, I think that Colorado and Tampa have done a really nice job retaining, but retaining isn't changing.
It's not very splashy.
Right. So Detroit has a real bid at that, but I think I might lean Ottawa just because of the star power that they brought in with DeBrincat and Giroux.
You know, I do agree. I think Detroit is a team that is in a very good competition for that, but Ottawa right now, just the level of talent they brought in is incredible. And a team that has made a splash, as we talked about them already multiple times for the wrong reasons, is Chicago.
Yeah.
But the reason they made a splash is because they're, you know, if they were like the Titanic and they crashed into the iceberg and fell into the ocean, that's the crash, the big splash they made, you know?
Right.
Unfortunately,
they're looking like Jack right now.
I don't know.
I don't know her name either.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I've seen that movie.
It looks like they're sinking. It does not look like... No,
they are not swimming. They are not floating. They are sinking. But it is also an intentional sink. They are trying to get a young team. And they said today that they would play with a team of full 21-year-olds if they need to. They don't care. Mm-hmm. So they're that committed to finishing last.
Mm-hmm.
So fair. So they're making splashes for the right reasons if that's what they're trying to do. But it's been a very eventful stretch of the last couple of weeks. Even, you know, just seeing the draft go the way it did with some of these trades that have gone on, some of the free agents that are still available, some of the free agents that have signed. It's been a lot of fun in the NHL landscape.
Watching both the NFL and the NHL super intently, the NFL has always been the more exciting offseason to watch, free agency. There's just so much movement in the NFL. The NHL this year has really been competitive with the NFL because the moves, the draft, everything has just been phenomenal recently.
Absolutely. And NHL GMs, at the end of the day, yes, they want to win hockey games. They want to build their hockey teams the best way they can. But they do understand they are operating business, especially the guys that are in the same roles of GM and president. A lot of people do have that dual role. This is a business. You are in charge of... You're in charge of budgeting. You're in charge of ticket prices. You're in charge of all this stuff. You're in charge of a lot more than just signing, trading, drafting players. And people don't really realize that. It's a lot more involved than you think it is. And this is 1,000% something that comes up in the GM meetings every single year. It's how do we, as a league, become bigger in the landscapes of sports in North America and really the world. And the excitingness of the offseason is a lot of what drives the NFL because you always know that there's big names, new places every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey wasn't really always the case, especially the last few years. And it's something that I really think they have realized and made a point to try to, you know, really emphasize that we need to make bigger splashes, make more of names for ourselves. And you've seen more players move. You've seen more trades, seen more guys hit in free agency. You've seen bigger paydays. You've seen the stuff because these GMs talk to each other. It's like we have to do better. If we make more money for the league, become a bigger name, we're going to have bigger salary caps at the end of the day. So these signings are going to work out better in the long run, blah, 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 that type of stuff. It's 1,000% what they're talking about. So this isn't just a coincidence. I think this is a trend that we're going to start seeing more often at the NHL.
I sure hope so.
Yes.
Because it's been really fun. One more thing from me. Before we move to hockey name of the day, I mentioned earlier that Johnny Gaudreau linked to New Jersey for a while. Have you heard any more on that front with Johnny Gaudreau specifically?
There hasn't really been anything on Johnny Gaudreau at all.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, watching the broadcast all day, they really didn't have anything to share. But New Jersey makes a lot of sense. Philly makes a lot of sense.
No.
Well, in terms of, because they said it's a family decision, why he's leaving Calgary. So that's why those two teams make a lot of sense.
But you've mentioned... at least off air to me about the Philadelphia Flyers. Oh, it's time for them to just
it's time for them to blow it up and rebuild because at the end of the day you're not even a top 10 team in the East. So like you got to really shake things up. Yeah, you just signed Kucherov to that extension. Maybe trade him. Yeah, you got Ivan Provorov. I'd try to hold on to him. But maybe even like a Travis Konecny type guy. Maybe see what you can get for him. Move on from a couple players. Get some draft picks. Take a couple years to really retool and be ready to go. Don't go out and spend money and try to do what Chicago just did and try to keep yourselves alive. You got to keep yourselves afloat. You just got to realize that it hasn't worked out. We need to make adjustments. We're not going to be a team that can compete right now. We need to be a team that can compete in the future when some of the teams that are trying to compete right now end up ultimately flopping. Because at the end of the day, 90% of the league is going to flop.
You hear that, Flyers? Don't sign Johnny Gaudreau.
Exactly.
All right, cool. Well, if you don't have anything else, Chase, we can move to hockey name of the day.
Let's do it.
Oleg's Sislanikovs.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Sislanikovs. You definitely had to think about the one. It's a little tricky looking at it.
Yeah. I was going to say Sissa at first, but I'm like, there's not an A before the L.
Yeah. Yeah. So Oleg's, he is a 25-year-old Latvian forward who has signed in the Liga Magnus, which is the French league this season. He played last year in Ukraine. As a pretty decent player, point per game guy, he's going to go play in the top league in France, which is a solid league, you know, nothing just unbelievable by any means, but it is a solid league. If you go look at his, you know, pass production, different levels, he was a pretty good player in the Latvian Pro League, pretty good player in the Alps League, was a pretty good junior player for Latvia as well, but hasn't really made any international appearances since then. You know, as an adult, he hasn't, you know, they've got enough players playing in the KHL and stuff where those guys are making those international teams more, but now that he's going to the French League, it's a bit more respected league than Ukraine. Maybe he's someone that we do see in the international level for Latvia, which now that, you know, now that Russia and Belarus are teams that aren't, what's it called, that aren't allowed to participate in international play, we're going to see definitely more of Latvia in international tournaments. So maybe someone that we'll see more often.
Yeah, and you and I talk about hockey minority countries, how much we love it.
Yes.
I've got a soft spot for Latvia specifically.
I know you're a big Latvia guy. That's why I try to find them when I can.
Absolutely love it. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out. Chase, hit him with an outro.
Yes, as always, we'd like to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us on Patreon, support us over there, we would really appreciate it. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter, at HockeyPodNet, that's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, go follow WMP on Twitter, WMP Sports Pod, that's WMP Sports Pod. Make sure the HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. You can find all the podcasts on the network right there. Boom, click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever listening, if you rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. We really appreciate it. Rave dude, do not forget to use code THPN. It's never DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.